everybody, and welcome back. Aha, now it looks like we're rolling. Facebook is moving a little slow today, like maybe the rest of us are, but I am delighted to be back with you today. It is, Thursday, November the 5th, and I've been looking forward to today. Remember, the 5th of November. Anybody ever heard that before? There was a popular movie that came out a few years ago called V for Vendetta, right? And it was kind of an Orwell-esque movie set in a future, not dystopian state, because everything was far too put together. The state had taken control over everything. Every minority group was oppressed. It really was very much like a George Orwell work. But after that movie, it actually came from a graphic novel. Maybe you've seen some of these signs floating around here. I hope that you can see that, right? That's the sign. Some people have started wearing those at political rallies, because the whole story is about a man that was that had a vendetta, and he was trying to overthrow his oppressive government and that kind of thing. And so lots of people have gone to wearing those masks. But the reason that we need to remember the 5th of November, and the reason that people need to do a much better job of researching history when it comes to choosing cultural icons to represent anti-establishment sentiment, is because of what really happened on the 5th of November. Now, let me pull these blinds here a little bit, or we'll be blinded by the sun, right? The reason I wanted to talk about the 5th of November today, and interestingly enough, I had planned to do this not even knowing that we would have strife over elections and not even know who the president was going to be and all that rigmarole. But nevertheless, I plan to talk about today because we remember the 5th of November for a different reason, right? The mask that I showed you just a moment ago, and if you're just joining us, I'll show you again. This is the mask that I'm referring to. I wish I had a better way to put this up on the screen, but this is a live stream, so that's the best I can do. But this mask represents a man named Guy Fawkes, or Guido Fawkes was his name. The British call him Guy, but he was a Spaniard. His name was Guido. And Guido Fawkes really should not be used as a symbol for anti-establishment, because Guido Fawkes decided that he did not like the way that things were going in England with King James. Now, the year was 1605. And I'll get to the biblical devotional part for this in just a moment. But the year was 1605, and King James had just basically installed his daughter Elizabeth, who was 9 years old, as the head of the Catholic state in England. Basically, what was happening was Reformation was happening. It was running rampant throughout England. This is the same King James that was baptized by John Knox, I believe. So we're not going to get into all of that stuff today. We simply don't have the time. But the reason Guy Fawkes is important, and the reason we ought to remember the 5th of November, and the reason that he should not be used as a symbol of anti-establishment, is that you couldn't find anybody more establishment than Guy Fawkes. He was a Spaniard Catholic, and he hated King James, and he hated the fact that Reformation was spreading throughout England. He hated it so much, in fact, that he decided that he and a group of co-conspirators were going to blow up the House of Lords on November the 5th during their opening day of Parliament on November the 5th. He had hauled gunpowder barrels underneath the House of Parliament. He was there ready to absolutely blow the place sky high, thus assassinating King James. Now, why is that important? It's important for a lot of different reasons, but it's important because what we've been talking about as of late, the last 2 days, we have broken from the gospel according to John, and instead we have been focusing on the sovereignty of God, how God is in charge, how nothing can prevail against God's plans. And there are so many verses that talk about this. Whether it's Romans 8 that talks about all things working together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Whether it's Isaiah 45 where the Lord says, I, the Lord, bring disaster and create calamity. Whether it's Jeremiah that affirms the fact that nothing is too impossible for God. The list goes on and on and on. Job reaches these conclusions. But I like Proverbs 19:21. And this is our verse for the devotional thought of the day. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." I'll read that again, Proverbs 19:21, and I want you to keep that in mind as we consider all of the events swirling around us, as you consider all the events of your life. You know, again, I've been talking about the election and the cacophony that's going on out there and how nobody knows what's going to happen. I've already heard some people saying it's a fraud and other people saying, no, it's not. Remember this, Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Rewind to November the 5th, 1605, with the Spaniard Catholic Guy Fawkes. His entire desire was to topple the English government. You know, we're not going to get into everything right now, but for the Protestant Reformation to really take hold, you had to have one centralized large nation embrace it. That nation would be England. And it would be as a result of men like William Tyndale and John Knox and John Calvin's work down in Geneva, Switzerland. And they took the Reformation principles that had been started not with Martin Luther, but previously with John Huss, all the way back to Augustine, really, but with John Huss and with John Wycliffe, another Englishman who taught Lollards. They were laymen that went around and spread the gospel. It took these men laying down their lives for the Protestant Reformation to gain a foothold. And if I'm using that term, you don't know what it is. The Protestant Reformation was when the Catholic Church was set on its head. There were so many great abuses that I don't have the time to go into right now. Everything from something called privilege of clergy, where clergy could only be tried by other clergy, to disastrous acts of immorality. Europe was dying of the plague, and the Catholic Church had untold amounts of wealth. Crusades were started. It was one debacle after another. And the biggest insult was that the Roman Catholics refused to let people have copies of God's Word. They refused to allow God's Word to be translated into any other language other than the Vulgate, which was the vulgar tongue at its time, but they believed that the Latin Vulgate was the holy language and that you had to read the Bible in that language. But even you shouldn't read the Bible because you needed a priest to interpret it for you. And they had things like indulgences where they sold you your forgiveness. It was disastrous. Well, finally, by the time 1605 gets here, so much of that had been done away with. Everything was moving in the right direction. And Guido Fawkes decided that it was time to take out the big dog, the head of the king, the head of England, King James himself. And so with his co-conspirators, again, he gathered up the supplies to absolutely blow the House of Parliament to bits. That would mean blowing up King James and all of the other lords and those in the House of Commons, everything. He was going to destroy everything. But again, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Most of the time when people hear about Guy Fawkes, they think about it in popular culture, and they think about the poem, "Remember, Remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot." But there is another poem, and it was written by those in England, by Protestants in England, mainly by Presbyterians in England. And it says, "Remember, remember, the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. Guy Fawkes and his companions did the scheme contrive to blow the king and parliament all up alive. 60 barrels laid below to prove old England's overthrow. But by God's providence, him they catch with a dark lantern lighting a match." Again, that's what the tale was, that he had already struck the match to assassinate the king and all of Parliament. But they caught him A stick and a stake for King James' sake. If you won't give me one, I'll take two. The better for me and the worse for you. A rope to hang the Pope. A Kenilworth of cheese to choke him. A pint of beer to wash it down. And a jolly good fire to burn him. Holloa, boys, make the bells ring. Holloa, boys, God save the king. Hip, hip, hooray. You know, up until very recently, Halloween was hardly anything in Great Britain. And in fact, there are still many municipalities that don't do anything for October the 31st, and instead they focus on Bonfire Night, which is November the 5th. And yes, that still goes on to this day. And what do they do on November 5th? Instead of hipsters wearing masks of Guy Fawkes to try to represent an anti-establishment sentiment against the government, they pick up effigies of Guy Fawkes, like pinatas made out of things that look like Guy Fawkes, and they set them on fire in a big bonfire, and they still recite that poem. Why? Because people still see the truth. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. The Guy Fawkes incident on November the 5th, 1605, is just one example of so many where we have seen God intervene in the course of human history, where God has entered into history and has absolutely changed the entire world. When seemingly all was lost with Guy Fawkes, when the fuse was set, and when the match was lit, the Lord intervened. I could sit here today and I could tell you all sorts of other examples of this. It wasn't too long before this, in 1588, that the Spanish Armada, the mightiest navy in the world at that time, encountered an off-chance storm in the British Channel and was destroyed, thus allowing Britain to remain free. That kept the Roman Catholics from destroying Britain in 1588. And also, it opened up the Atlantic Ocean for a few voyages over here around 1609 or so, if you know your history. Not too far from me, up here in Virginia. That's another example. Time after time after time, we can see the Lord intervening. And we can see that, men, we make all of these plans. And as a result, other men can be filled with all sorts of fear about what's going to happen and how terrible it's going to be. Nothing can thwart the hand of the Almighty God. He alone is sovereign. Remember, many are the plans in a man's heart. You could say schemes as well. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And the Lord's purpose is best, because we know why he does what he does. Again, all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. How can God say that? Because remember the promises of Christ, that he is building his church, and that when his church is built in all of its fullness, he will return. And then, my friends, then he will make all things new. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for history. I know that some think it's boring, and that's okay. However, it is when we look back at history that we can see your hand so powerfully at work. And with that mindset that you're in charge, if we'll look around ourselves today, we will see your hand powerfully at work. Help us not to miss you, Father. In the midst of all the craziness going on with elections, and wondering and worrying about what everything means for the future of our nation and all of these different things, help us to remember that many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And Father, we are so grateful for this. We do not know the future, but we know you, and we trust in you. Help us to remember the 5th of November as well. That scoundrel Guy Fawkes, his desire to completely disrupt the spread of your word, to steal the gospel back. Yet your gospel will not be stopped, cannot be stopped. Even the gates of hell itself shall not prevail against it, nor any pope, nor any Spaniard. And we are so grateful. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I've talked about some interesting things this morning, and I know that the poem that I read is not exactly politically correct, but that's okay. By the way, if you've seen some of the stuff the Pope has been up to in the last couple of weeks, then you might understand or appreciate the poem a little bit more, but nevertheless, and no, I'm not calling for the Pope's assassination. I'm just reading to you a historical document. Keep these things in mind as you consider what's going on in the world around us. For some reason, I can't read any comments today. I'm sure that some of you have. I can't see it if you have, but good morning to you all. May the Lord bless you all. Lord willing, I will be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Until then, I hope that you all have an excellent day. Remember that God is in charge.